At the Armageddon here with yet another movie review that you didn't ask for. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. The thing about prequels is that a great many of them, to their detriment in my opinion, take the approach of this is exactly, precisely, and rigidly how the things you know and love came to be. Over the years, through watching various attempts at prequel stories, I have discovered generally that I don't like this approach as it tends to be like spackle. Technical and serviceable, filling the gaps, but nowhere close to the explosion of artistic expression and creation of the original architecture. Instead, to me, the best prequels are, you won't believe how this setup right now becomes the thing you already know and love. This approach is fraught with danger for continuity stands for sure. My condolences to Lord of the Rings fans currently suffering through the Rings of Power, but I digress. But it's because I think in general, a core element of all engaging stories is a sense of discovery. Even if the world is already familiar, I would want to be walking through a setup or scenario or an arc where I am being given reveals instead of explanations. It's definitely a balance of the new and an affirmation of the old, and it's not a perfect science. Writing and story is never that, but I do think it is a guiding light that might help a great many prequel stories sort of stand on their own. And yeah, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, is absolutely not that. Some of the best Mad Max world stories feature a pretty clean and simple story draped in action that tells the story as well or better as dialogue could ever. The lesser entries are more meandering and a bit overcomplicated. And that's a problem here. My biggest question after the credits rolled was, why did I have to see this story? And I really don't have a good answer for that. Obviously, I am writing this through the lens of things I like to see and experience, so I have to say that as much as I loved Mad Max Fury Road and the character of Furiosa, I wasn't clamoring inside my wee little tiny brain to find out more about her past. And weirdly, in a way, neither does this movie, as she's not even a focus for about a quarter of the movie. I literally don't know why Anya Taylor-Joy is in this and not some other actress other than butts in seats, maybe. And that's a problem. And so, without a clear path to watch how this character grows, it feels more like a series of vignettes that might have been better as a Mad Max anthology viewed in disjointed 15-minute snippets on Netflix. It's a bit ironic to discuss how this prequel binds itself to a certain level of rigid continuity because, in general, the franchise as a whole exists in the form that it does because it has ignored a sense of rigid continuity from one movie to the next to get to where it is. It continually has reinvented itself. This has led to it having a sense of discovery, even when an entry might not have been the best. Sorry, Thunderdome. The beauty of the world of Mad Max is that the world pretty much explains to you through inference of how anyone you see, besides Max himself, has come to be. It always leaves it up to you, the viewer, to fill the gaps and doesn't engage in spoon-feeding. Perhaps now, because today's audience is so much more invested in every single piece of anything that has happened on screen, and sometimes books, and in this movie's case, apparently in video games as well, we get this movie which, well, does all the things I've talked about. This movie engages in a level of holding your hand and telling more than previous entries have. And again, Thunderdome does this to some degree, and I think partly that's why it ranks a little lower than the rest. Prior to this movie, the world of Mad Max felt expansive and actually a bit mysterious and full of unknown and unforeseen variations on the original theme. You never knew just what was on the other side of the literal and figurative horizon from one movie to the next. It has moved from a semi-futuristic dystopia to a semi-grounded post-apocalyptic tale to bonkers metal fantasy. But in this movie, the world seems smaller, more defined, and less exciting. It's reined itself in rather than reaching out. Now, if you just like action, you will get plenty of that. And it's George Miller, one of the greatest and most underrated creators we have today. For all the things I've talked about here that don't excite me, the movie still does truly look beautiful, and there's a lot to love in the action sequences and cinematography. But that's really about it. Having said that, that's enough for this movie to rate as good, and despite my focusing on where I think it missed, all the rest of it is enough to make this movie an experience where you won't feel like you wasted your time. But also, really, even people that love the movie seem compelled to go back and watch Fury Road, which says something to me. And what it says to me is not affirming. I hope how this movie occurs to me is just a byproduct of this being a prequel, and this entry is merely a side quest, and our next entry in the world continues to be an ever-growing experience of weirdness with new faces and new foes. But then again, I'm kind of a hypocrite because I wouldn't mind seeing that sweet, sweet V8 Interceptor featured again, so what do I know? And thus ends the lesson. I give Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, 3 Peach Pits out of 5. Until the next review that you didn't ask for, at the Armageddon, signing off.